This podcast is brought to you by Learn Prime. Start your journey to becoming a great developer at learn.thoughtbot.com.
How's that feel? Unnatural?
A little bit.
Yeah, perfect. Welcome to podcasting.
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
Hello and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. It is Wednesday, November 20th. My name is Ben Orenstein and I'm here today with Alex Kessler. How are you doing, Alex?
Great. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. But so you are the founder and CEO of InSegment, is that true?
That is correct.
Yeah. Can you tell me what InSegment does?
InSegment is a full-service digital marketing agency.
Okay.
So InSegment, we do everything digital marketing, from landing pages, microsites, websites, that we call all that landing environments.
Okay.
To all the different ways and methods to driving traffic into those landing environments. So that includes paid search, organic search, social media marketing, email marketing, recapture marketing, mobile marketing, and all the other different methodologies to drive people to our clients' websites.
Gotcha. So is your ideal customer someone that is doing, I mean, is the ideal person someone that's doing nothing, or do you usually come in and they're doing something, but you kind of enhance it and make it better?
We primarily work with companies who are already engaged in some sort of marketing.
Yeah.
A lot of them are engaged with very sophisticated marketing already.
Okay.
Some of them have marketing teams that are hundreds of people. So we rarely start with at the very beginning.
Okay.
So.
Which makes sense because most companies know that they at least need to be doing some basic things, right?
Yeah, usually people want to fill out their marketing team, have some expertise in house, and get started, and then bring somebody in. Now, if we're talking about startups and high tech companies, if we're talking about large existing businesses such as banks who've been around for 100 years, which we have a number of those that we service, that's an ongoing marketing concern. And that is where we focus on moving from more traditional marketing methodology that they're used to, you know, print and TV, outdoor, into more of the digital realm.
Mm. Interesting. Are there big shifts required to move there?
Yes, very significant shifts. Usually banks have traditional ways of marketing that they're used to, that they've been doing for years, direct mail, campaigns, outdoor campaigns, TV campaigns, radio campaigns. And for them, the digital media is perceived as this new channel that they want to explore and learn about.
Mm-hmm.
But we're glad to have some of the more innovative thinkers in the banking arena who embrace digital, and that's where we come in and help them.
Mm. So how would you summarize the highest value things that you're doing for these clients?
The highest value things is always bringing in business. Majority of our clients, if not all of our clients, are medium-sized companies. So whereas with larger companies, branding is a huge component of what it is that they do.
Right.
With our clients, we need to move the needle in revenue. And that is our focus, ROI-based marketing.
So if you're Coca-Cola, you want people to see that Coca-Cola logo 100 times a day because that sort of helps you in an indirect way. But if you're a smaller company, then it's not you don't just care that I've seen your logo. You actually care that the people that you want become your customers.
Sure, absolutely, exactly. And you know, Coca-Cola doesn't have any specific demand generation campaigns. They're more about engaging with their user base, listening to feedback, product testing, developing new products, market research. They're more branding focused.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a software company needs to bring in revenue, needs to meet their goals, and in order to do that, they need to generate leads.
Mm-hmm.
And lead generation for B2B type businesses is one of our strong suits, and we specialize in all the various methodologies and techniques of driving new leads for our clients.
Mm. So if you were going to give me like a one-page write-up on like here are the basics of what you should be doing to achieve that, what would be on there?
So first thing that comes to mind is organic and paid search. So for whatever it is, that the type of software that you're selling or mm-hmm. the type of solution you're selling, you need to be on page one of Google. Mm-hmm. If you're not on page one, you do not exist, because that is the main street of the internet, right? Page one of Google and Yahoo. Mm-hmm. How do you get to page one? There's organic side and there's paid search side.
Mm-hmm.
So on the organic side, you have to engage in white hat techniques and make sure your website is coded correctly and make sure you have a strong content portfolio and inbound linking portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Google continues to adjust and change and their algorithm. Actually, there's statistics that say that they change their algorithm as often as once a day. So we as marketers, you need to continue to adjust what it is that we do in order to continue to keep our clients on the first page of Google. Mm-hmm. In fact, the newest algorithm update of Google came out a few weeks ago called Hummingbird, which changed a lot of rules that used to be there. It's something that everybody's talking about except Google. Google is keeping it quiet and letting everybody figure it out.
Yeah.
And so organic side is number one. Then we have the paid search side, and the paid search side is pay-per-click basis.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where you're able to select the keywords that you can appear for, pay on the per-click basis, and then when someone clicks on your ad and you drive those individuals to your landing page or to your microsite or to your website, and you pay Google for every click that comes in. Those two are the basic ones. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, you have content syndication programs, and we do a lot of the content syndication programs with the large number of partners that we work with. There are websites out there that specialize in all different sorts of content. So if you're a healthcare IT company, or if you are a security software company, or if you're a database marketing company, or whatever it is that you specialize in, mm-hmm. there is likely a number of websites that produce content for that audience.
Mm.
And you can partner up with those sites and put your content up on those sites and work with them on a paper lead basis. Yeah. And that's really a paper performance method that a lot of our clients like, because when you look at pay-per-click, sometimes you can drive the clicks, but you're not guaranteed a specific number of leads.
Mm-hmm.
However, with pay-per-lead programs, you can guarantee a specific number of leads. So, and that is called content syndication, content marketing.
So these sites that syndicate the content, they exist for... Are they widely read? They exist for their readers, and that's their main goal, and they happen to also syndicate content?
Exactly. These sites are very focused on specific industries and specific niches within each industry.
Uh-huh.
They have editorial teams that produce custom content, that produce sometimes produce events, produce a lot of virtual events, webinars. This is where a lot of thought leadership is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You, I'm sure, have heard of companies such as IDC, IDG, TechTarget. So those would be the examples of some of these types of sites.
So they're only going to syndicate things that match with what they're trying to put out there, right?
Absolutely. They usually would create a program where there is an editorial piece coming out by their team, and then on the side there is the vendor white paper available for download, and the vendor would be one of our clients. And then if their user base wants to read that white paper, it's already known that this individual is interested in that type of a content because somehow they ended up on that page.
Mm-hmm.
And then before they download, they have to give up their information, and that's how the lead is generated.
Gotcha.
And the website is paid on a cost per lead basis.
Right.
So that would be a third method of generating leads.
Is that how does that usually compare to organic and pay-per-click ads?
It depends on the volume that you're looking for, and depends on who the target user is. If the target user is medium and large businesses, usually this is the strongest path generating leads with higher volume.
If the targets are medium and large?
Medium and large. If you're looking for small businesses and if you're looking for sales through e-commerce right on the site, let's say you're selling a subscription to some sort of a service for $99 a month and you're looking for someone to put in their credit card, sign up, and use your software that way.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, content, syndication, content, marketing probably would be a minor part of your overall program, just because that's not very aligned with the users and readers of those sites. However, if you are looking for specifically large volumes and larger types of companies, then it would probably be one of the primary methods of generating leads. So we have clients who spend 80 to 90% of the budget within that method. Hmm. And then the rest of the budget is distributed among the paid search, organic search, and other.
Do you think that works better for large, when your customers are larger, because they expect to be called by a salesperson or like want to have that sort of like concierge sales service, as opposed to like you said, the subscription product that's a little cheaper where it's more like a self-serve thing and that they don't want to be contacted?
Sure. I mean, if you are going to buy software for your organization and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on it, you are not going to do it as a self-service type method. You're going to have a lot of questions. You're going to have a lot of integration, deployment type questions. And speaking with a salesperson would be an absolute requirement. And not just only an expectation of a service, of a good service, but that is just the nature of that type of a sale.
Mm-hmm. You, a little bit back, you mentioned creating content to try to rank organically in search results. Do you guys actually help your customers, your clients, write that stuff, or do you sort of point them in the right direction and say, here's maybe what you want to think about?
We absolutely help our clients with content creation, and we do some of that ourselves in-house. In addition to that, we also partner with the various industry leaders and specialists in specific topics to create that content, so that we go and we find the right writers, the right voices that could speak on behalf of our clients, and we engage with them to create content for our clients. This could range from a professor or a researcher to companies such as Forrester. We could actually work with Forrester to create white papers and research studies on behalf of our clients, and they would be branded as Forrester, which gives a lot of credibility to the content.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So are those the major pieces then, or is there any other?
So, yeah, those three would probably be the major pieces. In addition to it, email marketing is an ongoing need, and that includes both the demand generation and net new business, bringing in IT decision makers into the landing environments for our clients. But more importantly, it's a nurturing campaign that we often get engaged to set up, run and manage for our clients. That's where email and marketing automation is a very important element. You know, we work with the biggest platforms out there. We are authorized partners of HubSpot. We work with Marketo. We work with Eloqua, and in order to make sure that the leads that we generate don't go stale, and we continue to nurture those leads along until they're ready to be marketing qualified leads and then sales qualified leads.
So it's the kind of thing where you're like sending emails to like teach them things or give them useful information and, you know, provide value over time. And then eventually you start driving them more into the landing environments that you've been talking about.
Usually they would engage in a landing environment, and they would already have downloaded one piece of content
in return for their email,
in return for their contact information.
Yeah.
And that enables us to know what it is that they're interested in. So there may be dozens and sometimes hundreds of nurturing streams that go out, and depending on what content you have downloaded and what other actions you took, you will be provided other relevant information relevant to the subject matter that you're interested in,
mm-hmm.
as well as the where you are in the buying cycle. Different pieces of content are more relevant to different stages of the buying cycle. If you're in the research stage, you may want to get to more information and continue to learn about the space. Mm-hmm. As you get closer to making a decision, then you may be interested in more of the pricing comparison, ROI type calculation, quotes, etc.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you turn these tools on your own business to drive your own clients?
No, we do not. We do not. There are certain areas.
That's weird, right?
That is very. It seems very weird, yeah. Right? And this is a very good question, a common question that I get, and the reason why is actually there are some keywords, and there are some areas where it does not make sense to do paid search, and. I thought I would never be heard saying that ever, but now that we have years of experience running different campaigns and trying different methodologies for different clients, we now see that if you are selling something that is targeted for higher end client, but that same exact item is also being sold to thousands of people for 100th of the price that you have,
mm-hmm.
And the search volume on the internet is primarily generated by those people, then you can't effectively advertise.
Mm. So through paid search.
Through paid search, yeah. Right? So let's take as an example a keyword SEO, right? There are hundreds of small and tiny and startup and wannabe startup businesses and blogs that all want to do SEO. They all want to drive traffic to their websites.
Mm-hmm.
Their budgets range from $29 a month to $500 a month to $1,000 a month. And for those types of businesses, there are so many of them. And so the overwhelming majority of the search traffic that comes in on the word SEO,
mm-hmm.
is either people trying to learn about what that is, or people trying to find a solution for $50 a month.
Right.
And for a firm that is targeting more medium-sized companies and engaging with companies who have significantly higher budgets, to advertise on that keyword and get a lot of the clicks would basically just spend the budget, but
yeah.
you get really no valuable leads. So a lot of the search marketing works best when you have a defined target audience, vertical, and industry, and a keyword that is associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason why we do not really use those types of tools for our clients. Also, we find that we are not the cheapest provider out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when companies are looking to get kind of get three quotes and then go with the cheapest one,
yeah.
we always lose in that battle. We end up growing through referrals from existing clients, through reaching out to some of the strategic accounts that we want to be working with and engage with, and really aligning the value that we bring in and the knowledge that we bring in with the cost. And it's not just we're not the lowest cost provider that way.
Mm-hmm.
And being a boutique agency, we're not looking to grow at an unreasonable pace. We want to do a good job with our clients. We want to have our clients stay with us forever. And that actually is happening. We have clients that have been with us for 7 years, for 5 years, for 4 years, and those relationships are going well and are continuing. And that is the more important goal for me, is to be the extension of the marketing team for our clients, really be embedded with them, have this alignment of interests, and be really understanding their business goals and working with them in order to achieve their business goal, making them successful.
Mm. So InSegment would not be an awesome client for InSegment. You might be like, you need to go do your own thing, you know, spread with word of mouth and, you know, build these relationships.
Absolutely.
We're better at a slightly different type of marketing.
Absolutely. The clients that we're looking for are the clients that need to generate large, significant volumes of high quality leads, mm-hmm. who have sales teams in place in order to process those leads. So we are aligned and we are made to service medium-sized and larger organizations, mm-hmm. in supporting their demand generation needs and lead generation needs. If we have a boutique company come to us and say, listen, we're only looking to add 5 clients a year, we'll probably say, that's great, but we're probably not the right fit.
Yeah, so, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how many employees are you these days?
So we have almost 50 employees.
Almost
50 employees, yeah, and we have a great team. We have 3 primary directions. One is the client services team, mm-hmm. and that team interfaces and works directly with clients. Then we have a paid and organic search team, and then we have a design and development team,
mm-hmm.
and that team works on making sure all the websites are built and launched on time, mm-hmm. and on budget.
So you don't just say, hey, you need like a microsite for this campaign. You say, we'll build the microsite for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a full service shop, we do everything A to Z. We build large involved websites. We get involved in backend programming.
Mm-hmm.
We get involved with, backends for our clients, for their clients, so as well as landing pages and simple microsites,
mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of work to be done in landing pages because it's so important that those convert.
Yeah,
convert well.
So, are your teams have a lot of experience in sort of? Do you do a lot of testing with that to sort of make sure that the conversion is happening and testing different ideas?
We are always testing. Testing is the core value of everything that we do. We mm-hmm. never go into any project with any beliefs that are not to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
We're always open to looking at the data and seeing what is really going on and what is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that from industry to industry, there are differences in how people engage and what is more popular and how people feel more comfortable,
mm-hmm.
with different ways to engage with our clients' websites. And also, times are changing, and what used to work no longer works. Google is paid search campaigns are the most expensive they've ever been. Mm. The cost per click inflation is huge. The clicks that we used to be able to buy for some of our clients a year ago are now double of what they used to be. Mm. So, and that's a function of competitiveness and more users and more advertisers getting into the marketplace, as well as Google's system is continuing to evolve and continuing to change, and a lot of those changes actually extract more money from clients. So,
sure. Yeah.
So we end up,
'cause that's in their interest.
Exactly. So. Exactly. So we end up spending more and more, at some point it becomes not cost effective anymore for clients.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to shift to other methodologies,
mm-hmm.
and shift budget from paid search to others, or going to other less expensive paid search pools such as mobile. Mobile, there's a lot of inventory available, but still not as much competition as it is in desktop.
Mm.
So that's a lot of lead generation is happening on mobile and on tablet devices. And And that is, we have to shift with the trends. And our continuing principle is evolve and change. And conversion optimization is one of the key services that we provide. We have a system that I actually came up with years ago called conversion architecture. And conversion architecture is a system based on different psychological profiling and applying those different psychological profiles to use type profiles and what is the use of the product for. Mm-hmm. And combining those different profiles and creating landing pages to be on the intersection of those and to match perfectly and very specifically what it is that the user who is searching was looking for, and therefore increase the chance of conversion. We are proud to say that we're often able to increase the conversion rates for our clients by at least threefold when we start working with our clients.
Mm-hmm.
We have examples when we've increased conversion rates 10 times and more. And that is critical because you're spending the same amount of money on marketing.
Right.
But now you have 10 times more leads coming out from the other side.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that there are, I mean, maybe I'm just not familiar with the market, but it seems like if you have the ability to do that, that's like basically printing money for companies. Like I that seems like the easiest sales pitch in the world, right?
That is exactly how I feel.
And so like I'm surprised there's not everybody doing this in a way. Like it seems like that lever is so, there's so much leverage on that thing. If you can change the conversion rate of the, like at the top of a funnel, it's just like, I can't believe everyone doesn't do this. Like there's not a million consultants doing this. Maybe there are, I just don't know.
There are consultants doing this, but definitely not a million of them, and a lot of it requires a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, and it's not as easy as just turning on, a new Google campaign and start seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
This requires really in-depth understanding of how it works. Optimization of the quality score is probably one of the key factors.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able
quality to, score of the ads that you're showing,
quality score of within the Google paid search campaign,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's one of the most important elements. We're able to drive the quality score because we figured out how it works for our clients' campaigns, therefore reducing their effective cost per click,
yep.
and increasing their position on the page, and that lever drives much more users now at much lower cost,
mm-hmm.
And that's pre-conversion. And then once they land on the page, we have to land them on the right page. We have clients for whom we've built upwards of 50 landing pages, and before they did it with two, and we came in and we really segmented. There's a reason why the name of our company is In Segment,
mm-hmm.
because we segment the market and we operate within each segment. Mm-hmm. In each segment, we look at each segment as its separate campaign, as its separate effort.
Interesting.
And we optimize each segment very specifically to maximize the lead delivery of that segment.
Right. And you're speaking about the things that person is most interested in. You're not just making a catch-all landing page, but like you want this, you're this kind of person, you want this kind of thing. Let me make this as clearly targeted at you as possible.
Exactly. You're this type of person in terms of your psychological profile, and you're this type of person in terms of what it is that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then we create a page for you that is targeted specifically for you.
Mm.
If you're an engineering profile, we create a page where you are able to download comparison sheets, charts, matrix, analysis, etc.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a social type personality, we're able to drive you to a page which is filled with testimonials and other items that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive an engineering profile into a social looking landing page with testimonials, you're never going to get that person to give up their information and become a lead,
mm-hmm.
because they don't believe it. They don't often believe the testimonials. They think it's all paid actors or friends and family writing those testimonials.
Right.
Whereas if you drive the social profile into the engineering one. That's not how they analyze the information. They don't really want to look at a chart or in a comparison sheet. They want to see what experiences other people have with your firm, and engage with you that way. So having a correct alignment of psychological profiles is critical. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to what it is that you're selling, what it is that you're looking for, how often do we experience something that we are looking for something and we get an ad, we click, and then we get to that page. There's really nothing about what it is that we were looking for on that page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everyone can relate to that type of an experience, and that is a lack of continuation of conversation with the user from the Google page down to the landing environment. And if you don't continue the conversation, if you just push whatever it is that you think you are trying to push, it is basically not going to work. Users, it's so easy to click on the back button and go try somebody else. And that's why companies experience sometimes conversion rates of 1% or less.
Mm-hmm.
And often it is considered the norm. So often we go into a client and we look at their conversion rate into leads, and it's 1.3%. And everybody's is smiling. And that's where we say, well, there's no reason to smile. Out of 100 people that you've paid to drive to your page, only one decided to engage with you. 99 left.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a problem. So, and that is a problem we often start with. So landing environment is always the first area that we look at, because mm-hmm. any campaign or any type of traffic that you bring in will not engage if the landing environment is not set up correctly.
Mm. So I asked you that question about that one page summary earlier, and I'm building up my own version of it in my head. And so far, I have basically, you know, test everything. Don't come in with preconceived notions, and test everything that you're working with. And then also segment people. Make sure that, you know, your ads and your landing pages talk to that slice of customers you're working with individually.
Absolutely. Deep segmentation will always work.
Mm-hmm.
It will always help.
Any other like big high-level ideas, critical things like those two things that you tell people about?
Organic search is another very important element of every campaign, for every client, for every company out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of users, a lot of people who are searching on Google and Yahoo out there are not clicking on paid search at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in the organic results, if your page is not ranking, you may be missing a large opportunity.
Totally.
Being on the first page of Google for a good keyword gives you a lot of credibility. And people think that if you appear on the first page, that's what it is. So if they search for software that does X,
mm-hmm.
and you write there on the first page, that's what they think it is. That's the universe of their consideration.
Mm.
And being on the first page is critical. SEO is a long-term game. It's not if you're a startup and you are trying to build your business. We often hear that, oh yeah, search engine optimization takes a long time. Let's just wait for it until the next quarter or next year, and let's just focus on paid search for now. And we often say to that that's a mistake. You have to start focusing on organic search from the very beginning.
And by focusing on that, you mean creating great content that helps people that they want to read.
Creating great content, making sure the pages are coded correctly, and as Google updates its algorithms and updates its webmaster guidelines, updating the pages accordingly,
mm-hmm.
making sure you are always thinking about increasing the incoming links that are coming in from relevant sources,
mm-hmm.
engaging in social media, engaging in blogosphere, being out there and being visible, and eventually you'll be found on the first page of Google if you continue that.
Got it.
Okay. Also picking your battles. Sometimes if you're playing in a very competitive category and you go to the first page of Google and the number 10 result on that first page is IBM, mm-hmm. And in order to get to that first page, you have to kick off IBM, then you need to reevaluate the keywords that you're looking at. And mm-hmm. there may be a more longer tail keyword that you need to be focusing on and that you can successfully rank on, and, mm-hmm. and that should be the focus at that point.
Makes sense. Cool. Anything else we haven't talked about that you think we should cover? Okay. This has been like a little mini seminar on marketing for people. So
great. The important element is selecting the right partner to go with. Often entrepreneurs who are starting their businesses are confident that they can do everything themselves. And it is probably true. A lot of the initial elements can be done by themselves. But it's critical to engage with the right partner at the right point in time in order to exploit the latest new available marketing tricks that only those who are in the business really know. The ROI on and always looking for ROI, always be looking for a measurable return on what it is that you spend on marketing. And measure and track everything. And we don't want to be in the world where half of the marketing works, but half doesn't. You just don't know which half.
Mm-hmm.
In our world of digital marketing, we know exactly what is working.
Right. Definitely one benefit of the new digital world.
Absolutely.
Cool. Last thing I want to ask you about is I saw in an interview that you did previously that you are a big fan of the getting things done methodology.
Oh, absolutely. Big fan. I practice it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I often reread the book or the cliff notes to the book. That system really enables me to not miss important items and to prioritize correctly and to continue to feel in control. Often, when you have a lot of projects going on and a lot of different tasks that you need to complete, one can feel overwhelmed and out of control. And a lot of time people are just starting to take care of whatever is the closest to them, the first email in the inbox, and just go down the inbox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the GDD system really comes in handy by learning, by teaching on how to prioritize correctly, how to make the right decisions, and then how to work from the most important item to the least important item and have it as a system. And actually, the biggest benefit of GDD is the calmness and the feeling of being in control. That's what it really gives you, and knowledge of where you are.
I haven't done GTD for long, but I have gotten in short bursts where I've done it, and the biggest thing that I noticed is actually what you're talking about. And for me, the calmness was getting rid of the ideas of to-dos that are in your head. That was like one of the biggest things. Like, take everything that you think you have, like you must immediately dump something that you think, oh, I need to do that, into somewhere, some inbox or, you know, receptacle of some kind. And that for me was like the biggest change, was like, there's nothing in my head that I have to do. Everything I know that everything I need to do is in held somewhere.
Absolutely. And there are people out there who have the recurring thoughts, which create stress. Oh, I have to do this project I have to do this task for this project.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, and then you say, okay, I have to remember not to do that. And then you go about your life, and then 6 hours later or a day later or 2 days later, this thought comes in again.
Mm-hmm.
And those thoughts keep on coming back to your mind and keep on creating stress and feeling of being overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you put it down on a piece of paper, put it in the inbox of some sort, and then have scheduled time on your calendar to go through all of those items, prioritize them, schedule them, mm-hmm. and know when you're going to get to them. And it's okay if you're not going to get to all of them. And the truth is that you will never be able to do 100% of what it is that you need to do or want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the items just go into the someday file.
Right.
And you may get to them someday or you may not get to them someday. But that thought will never come back. Or if it does, you already know where it is and you already know it's filed and you already know that you'll get there and there's a system behind it.
Right.
And that is a huge... huge relief for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, Alex, I appreciate you coming by today. It was great talking to you.
Absolutely. My pleasure is all mine. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah. So what's a good way for people to get in touch with you?
My direct email address is Kessler, K-E-S-L-E-R, at insegment.com.
Awesome. Thank you. If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to thoughtbot.com/giantrobots/76. Today's podcast was recorded, edited, and produced by Mike Manner. Thanks for listening.